I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Couldn't be said any better. Terry, are you 10-8?
I am, brother. 10-8. Reporting for duty, sir. And I've got my Marine Corps shirt on that when many years ago, Jesse, Tim Staples, and myself, we went to Camp Lejeune in the Carolinas to give a mission to the Marine Corps. I'll never forget that trip, Jess. Hey,
yeah,
brother.
There were a bunch of, had a bunch of the brass, too.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of the, their command staff as well as the troops.
If everybody's good, I'll tell the fun story about a four-star general, Jesse Romero, Tim Staples, and myself. We're having dinner, and I'll shock you with what the general did at the dinner table, but it was fun. Jesse had a grin on his face. Tim was like, what? A general doing that? Well, that's my teaser for later in the show. Hey, Jess, I just got back from giving a talk at Christ the King Cathedral in Orange County in Garden Grove. Had a great group of men for the men's group that meet for businesses, and I gave them a talk on Fulton Sheen and John Paul II, and it was a lot of fun. So some of those new listeners, I'm going to give them a shout out because they all downloaded the app right while I was giving the talk. I follow your good example, Jesse. Right. Hey, brother, let's open up a good book because we always say the ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, and we always have the readings for the daily mass. But this is a great feast day for not just Mexicans, but for all of us in America, Jess.
Absolutely. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us.
Amen.
And I want to segue the gospel today with Our Lady Guadalupe's feast day and get into it.
You got it.
Give some good meat and potatoes.
You got it. I've heard you before. Wait, put your seatbelt on, folks. You're going to be really good.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38.
Yep.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So Gabriel's one of three archangels that's mentioned in sacred scripture. Joseph and Mary were married at this point. That's what the word betrothed means.
Mm-hmm.
You were married according to Jewish law, but you didn't move in together until 12 months.
Yep.
So this was the pre-moving in together, but they're legally married according to Judaism. And coming to her, the angel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Now, this is one verse of several where we get the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Because when you look at this verse, the Greek word full of grace is kyrie kekaritomini, which is what? In Greek, it's a very distinct phrase. It's only used here in Scripture. It's a perfect passive participle, which means that Mary was found to be full of grace at the moment of her conception. She was preserved from original sin. She was full of grace at the moment of her conception, because there was a debate between scholars. There, some scholars of the Middle Ages saying, no, she became full of grace when she was born. And it was Don Scotus that really said, no. She became full of grace. She was preserved from original sin through prevenient grace, the moment of her conception. Some people were saying, like, because there's an opinion that John the Baptist, Saint Joseph, that they were sanctified after they in the womb when they were born. For the Blessed Virgin Mary, she was immaculately conceived. That's what the phrase "full of grace" indicates in the Greek. And it says, "But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Two things here. "Do not be afraid" is found over 300 times in the Bible. And it says that Mary's found favor with God. So here's the second time that Mary's called, first of all, she's called full of grace. Now she says, "You found favor with God." And it also says, "The Lord is with you." That's what it means to be full of grace. The Lord is with you. And it says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will call him, you'll call him Jesus." By the way, the name Jesus means in Hebrew, "God saves." "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." And now look at what's going to happen here. The Bible says that Jesus has a kingdom. And that kingdom is the Catholic Church, starts here on earth, ends in heaven. Look at the kingdom that Jesus has. It says, and the Lord will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Here's what's interesting. The devil also has a kingdom, and it's the world, but the devil's kingdom has an expiration date. When Christ comes back in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says Jesus will throw Satan in hell, lock him up, and torture him.
Amen.
So Satan's kingdom is temporal. Jesus' kingdom, according to this verse, is forever. There's no end. But Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I have no relations with a man? And the angel said to her in reply, see, that St. Augustine and the fathers of the church say that this indicates that Mary had taken a perpetual vow of virginity, because that response does not make sense unless she had taken a perpetual vow of virginity, because she says, how can this be since I have no relations with a man? Remember, she's married and she's going to move in with St. Joseph. And so everybody who's married and lives with their spouse, they have intimacy. Well, she's saying, how can this be since I have no relations with a man? Which means that even though she's married, she's made a perpetual vow of virginity. That's the only way you can understand that phrase. And that's the way the fathers of the church explain it. And by the way, this isn't something that the Jews, it's not foreign to the Jews. You have entire communities of Jews called the Essenes that they all took vows of virginity and chastity. Then it says, look at Mary's relationship with the Trinity. It says, and the angel said to her in reply, the Holy Spirit will come down upon you. That's the third person. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That's the first person. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. That's the second person. So Mary is completely enveloped with God, the Trinity. Then it says, therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God. Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May be done to me according to your word. Look at the humility here. This is why Mary's also called the Queen of Humility. Can you imagine being given all these privileges and all this special predestination? And what does she say? She didn't say, yeah, yeah, that's right. Look at me. No, she says, behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. May be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesse, over 10 million people are visiting the shrine today, okay? 20 million over the course of a year. You got to tell us the story for those who haven't heard it.
It's the second most visited shrine in Christendom. The first one is the empty tomb of Jesus. The second most visited shrine is Our Lady of Guadalupe. So let me hit the rewind button here.
Yeah,
and
this
first
is
of all,
exciting.
So you could know what Mexico was like 500 years ago. It was called, it wasn't called Mexico City. The Aztecs called it Tenochtitlan. Okay, that's what it was called. Now, remember the movie Apocalypto from Mel Gibson? If you want to see what it is that Hernando Cortez and the conquistadors, what they saw when they arrived. Remember, that place, the Aztecs, they had a great temple there. They had many temples, but they had one, a massive temple where they did ritual sacrifice constantly. In fact, they say the day that they built the first temple in Mexico, that over 20,000 people were killed. So this was a continual sacrifice for human beings at a time from sunrise to sunset. So this is what the Spanish conquistadores, this is what they saw when they landed in the New World. They saw these bullies, these Aztecs. They were the ruling class of all the indigenous Indians, and they were sacrificing to their gods. Who are they sacrificing? Prisoners, villagers, forest dwellers, thousands a year. And so this horrific practice of human sacrifice and the sacrifice of children, this is what the Spaniards, this is what they saw as they landed their boats in Mexico. It was literally a culture of death. It was wholesale slaughter. And the conquistadores landed there in 1521. Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, didn't appear until 10 years later, 1521.
31.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 20 years later, 31. So the conquistadores, Hernando Cortes, who landed there in 1521, he landed in Veracruz. The word Veracruz means true cross. That's what Veracruz means, true cross. The first thing that he did when he landed, and he in these black ships that they came from Spain, Hernando Cortes, he got on his knees and he put a cross on the sand and he claimed Mexico for Christ the King. That was the first thing that he did. And then, of course, he met Montezuma. He met this the Aztec emperor, who was also a great warrior king. But so was Hernando Cortes. He was also known as a great general himself. And so when he landed, you know, and he planted the cross on the eastern shores of Veracruz, he saw that the Aztecs, as he met them, that they were required to kill people for their god of death. They had many gods. And according to historians, there's about 371 temples that they used for all their human sacrifice. And sometimes entire tribes were sacrificed. And so Hernando Cortes and his men, they quickly saw, wow, we've just come up against a satanic society. These people, this is literally a culture of death. And these people are doing some of the most horrendous things that we've ever seen. In fact, Dr. William Carroll, he writes that the Catholic Spaniards rescued Aztec Mexico from devil worship and human sacrifice by bringing the gospel to the Americas through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I'll continue on the other side, Terry.
They're going to love it. Jesse, this is so inspirational. Our Lady of Guadalupe, please pray for us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio and all of our listeners. We'll be back with much more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, we're talking about Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pray for us. Let's just say that relationships were strained between Hernando Cortes and Montezuma, the emperor, because Hernando Cortes is saying, hey, what you're doing, this is wrong. You guys have this killing the machine. You guys are brutalizing innocent people. This is wrong. So a war ensued in 1521, and Hernando Cortes launched a war with the conquistadores. Of course, Emperor Montezuma, Emperor Montezuma, of course he fought back, and they had many more fighters, but the Spanish had better arms. So the Spanish defeated them in this war, and what ended up happening 10 years after the war, in 1531, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared as an indigenous Indian, as Our Lady of Guadalupe. She appeared to Juan Diego, who was also an Indian. She appeared to him four times, and she appeared to his uncle one time as well. And remember what's happening also in Europe. There's confusion in Europe. You have the Protestant deformation, I mean the Protestant Reformation happening in Europe, where thousands of Catholics are leaving the church over to the Reformation. But over here on the other side of the pond, millions were leaving the Catholic Church back there, and millions were being converted to Christianity from the indigenous Indians as a result of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And also something else kind of interesting, Terry, mm-hmm. is that 40 years after Mary appeared four times to St. Juan Diego in 1531, 40 years after in 1571, when the Catholics were defending themselves against the Muslims' attack and the Sea of Lepanto.
That's right.
The Bishop of Mexico, Zumárraga, sent an image, a replica of Our Lady of Guadalupe to the Bishop of Spain. And they put Our Lady of Guadalupe's image, a copy of it, an exact replica, on the masthead of the ship by Captain Juan Dorias. So when the Catholics defeated the Muslims in the Sea Battle of Lepanto, the Muslims, the first thing that they saw coming at them was Our Lady of Guadalupe in the ship.
Beautiful.
So these apparitions, these four apparitions of Our Lady Guadalupe, by the way, the name Guadalupe means the one who crushes the serpent, okay? Guadalupe in the indigenous Indian is called Nahuatl. It means, some say it means I smash the serpent with foot. Others say the one who crushes the serpent. Those are the two interpretations from the actual language. Well, that coincides with Genesis 3:15. Our Lady Guadalupe's name and prophecy and what she did coincides with the woman of Genesis 3:15 who was given power by God to crush the head of the serpent. So this event happened about 500 years ago in a hill called Tepeyac, not far from Mexico City. What's interesting about that hill Tepeyac, they already had the Aztecs had an earth goddess that they worshipped right there. They already had their own Pachamama, Terry. It was called Tonantu or Tonantzin. Mm-hmm. That was the Aztec earth goddess.
Yep.
And that's where Mary appeared, mm-hmm. on top of the land of the earth goddess, basically indicating that she's sovereign over this earth goddess that they were worshipping. And our lady's image, it was imprinted on St. Juan Diego's mantle. Okay, he went over to the bishop. He was clamoring to have a visit with the bishop, and he's telling the bishop, this lady from heaven's appearing to me,
yeah.
and she's telling me she wants a chapel built here on the hill. And he's like, show me proof. So it's the dead of winter. It's freezing cold. And he says, I'll tell you what, give me some Spanish roses, some Spanish red roses, and I'll believe your story, okay? Well, you don't get Spanish red Castilian roses blooming in the dead of winter when everything is snow. So it was an impossible thing, the bishop asked. So he goes out there to the snow. He says, okay. And what does he find? Coming out of the ground in the snow, there's nothing but snow all over for hundreds of miles. And he sees a dozen roses blooming out of the snow. San Juan Diego picks them up and puts them in a stilma. He takes them over to the bishop. So he says, well, Bishop, you know, Your Excellency, I think here's the sign from heaven that you wanted. So as he unrolls his tilma, in front of the bishop, the roses fall down to the floor in front of him. But at that moment, the picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe appears suddenly on the tilma. Well, this causes the bishop, it causes a change of heart. He gets down on his knees, and he sees that this picture appeared right in front of his face. And so this bishop is realizing that this is a miracle. That was San Juan Diego, this simple Indian, what he's been telling them is nothing short of a miracle. And in fact, Terry, this miracle, it can be demonstrated even today, because a tilma is nothing but a cactus fiber. That's all it is. And experts say that cactus fiber disintegrates in about 20 years. Well, guess what? This cactus fiber has been around since 1531 until the present day without cracking or fading. Scientists say that's impossible. Also, something else interesting about this tilma, you know, over time, you know, the faithful have tried to embellish the tilma. So a crown was, they painted a crown on Our Lady's head and the angels and the clouds. However, guess what happened? Because that's not the original. The crown faded away. It's no longer visible. And also the rays of the sun, for example, they were coated by lay faithful with gold, and the moon was plated with silver. Well, guess what? These paintings, this embellishment from lay people in Mexico, that's also faded away. So scientists are baffled because this image of Our Lady Guadalupe that was imprinted on this tilma, there's no brush strokes, there's no sketch marks on it. And in fact, this Nobel Prize scientist, Dr. Richard Kuhn, a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry, he's saying that the colors, the image that was used to paint this, he says it does not contain natural animal or mineral pigments. In other words, there's no ingredients for what was used on planet Earth in that tilma. So the tilma defies natural explanation. And I think the greatest miracle, Terry, is this one, is that 8 million Indians converted in only 7 years following these four apparitions of Our Lady Guadalupe.
Right.
And again, the early Franciscans and Dominicans, they were busy day and night baptizing and administering the sacraments for years and years. In fact, on average, it was said that 3,000 Indians a day were baptized throughout 7 years. Terry?
Jesse, one more story, because Jesse could spend the whole hour talking on Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now you know why 10 million people are going there today and 20 million over the year. Jesse, the Masons tried to destroy Our Lady, did they not? Can you share that story about the bomb?
Yeah, back in the 1920s,
that's right.
The Masons, who basically control the Mexican government still at this point, They planted a bomb inside the chapel where the tilma is at of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
And the bomb exploded, and it basically destroyed the chapel and everything around it.
Yeah.
But here's what happened. There was a huge metal crucifix.
That's right.
Huge. I've seen it.
Yep, I have too.
That was right next to the tilma. Well, in some way, shape, or form, this crucifix moved over to where the bomb was at. It wrapped itself around the bomb, and it took most of the blow.
Yeah.
And so the crucifix is all bent out of shape, and much damage was done to the chapel, but the tilma was completely intact. It was protected by this metal crucifix that basically took the shock of the bomb.
Wow, Our Lady of Guadalupe, please pray for us. And Jesse, one thing I will say, I enjoy hearing you say that, and I've heard that, and I'm sure our listeners loved hearing about Our Lady. I want to recommend that people go online and just type her name into the computer, because there's so much details, like Jesse was sharing, that's just so supernatural about her apparition. But I like to tie Our Lady of Guadalupe into the pro-life movement, Jesse, all my life. And I got good news here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one-third of the abortion clinics in America have closed in the last 5 years. And so that is good news. And I know a lot of people bring images of Our Lady of Guadalupe to
the clinics.
That's
the main one that's taken.
That's right.
Yeah,
it is. That's just a fact.
Yeah, that's the main one that's taken.
And think about it, Jesse. They tie in with abortion with what the Aztecs did with child sacrifice. It seems appropriate to me, brother.
That's right. Our Lady of Guadalupe, she's the woman of Genesis 3:15. She's also the woman of Revelation chapter 12. And as Catholics, one of the things that she told St. Juan Diego, she said, I am the mother of the one true God.
Yeah. Oh.
Juan Diego wanted to know who she was. So who are you? She says, I am the mother of the one true God. So here we got catechesis. What's she telling us? That Jesus is more than a man. She's telling us Jesus is not only God, but he's the only true God. Everybody else, Torantú, Torancín, Quetzalcóatl, they're false gods. They're demons.
Well said. Let's bring Bishop Sheen into the picture. Hey, full Sheen ahead. Just a quick note. The Peoria Diocese, I've been talking about launching a special appeal for prayer for the progress of the cause for the beatification of Christ, of Bishop Sheen. They have that novena. Go to celebratesheen.com. Let's see if I can squeeze this in. Here's the writing from Fulton Sheen. The better we become, the less conscious we are about our goodness. Boy, I can relate to that. If anyone admits to being a saint, he is close to being a devil. Yep. And I think that is the statement that I think we all have to understand, that any good that we do comes from God, and we thank him. And again, I just want to give a big announcement right now, Jesse. You didn't even know this, but when we were planning to have the celebration at the chapel on the 21st of December,
yeah,
the beatification, we're still having Mass. 9 o'clock, everybody. And that Mass, Jesse's smiling, we're going to have the Mass for the intention of the beatification of Fulton Sheen. So you're all welcome to come to the Sacred Heart Chapel on the 21st. It's not the beatification, but you know what? Prayers work, okay? So 9 a.m. Mass. We have it on our website now. We'd love to have you come. We'll have a little get-together. Father Wolfgang is going to be saying the Mass for us, and I think it's going to be a great celebration. And also, all of our sacrifices, we will pray the Rosary before Holy Mass. And that's all for the cause of Fulton Sheen. And as we say here, full Sheen ahead. And the Diocese of Peoria is really working hard, Jesse, to get the beatification. And Jesse, I just heard from some friends, several other miracles have taken place since the notice of Bishop Sheen's delaying of his beatification. Did you hear what I said? Fulton Sheen is interceding for people right now, brother. And I love it because, you know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. There are a lot of people who don't like Fulton Sheen inside our church. Too bad. You know what? God is going to bring a greater good from this whole issue. And again, I want you to join us on the 21st of December here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. And also join us with the novena for Fulton Sheen. And the best way to get the novena is to celebrate.com, celebratesheen.com. When we come back, we'll have more good news with you here at the Terry and Jesse Show. Our Lady of Guadalupe's feast day is today. And if you don't have to be Mexican to have devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. I have it. And you should too. We'll be right back.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil and the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The Apostle Jude says, contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. What does that mean? It means that the deposit of the Catholic faith has been given once and for all. Mm-hmm. With the death of the last apostle, St. Jude says, it's done.
Yep.
John's the last apostle. But we have to contend for the faith. What does that mean? It means fight for the faith, because there will be forces, even diabolical forces, that will try to change the Catholic faith. And Terry, I'm glad that we have on our website, vmp.org, vmpr.org, the oath against modernism.
Oh, yeah. We keep it
because
there.
The reason we have that, Terry, is because doctrine can't change.
Right.
Now, I have to admit, we do have of an understanding of certain things with the passing of time.
Yep.
But there are also things that we call prudential issues, which we as Catholics, based on the Catechism, paragraph 907, based on Pope Benedict XVI, we can disagree on issues that are prudential issues. And I think here's one of them.
Yep.
Because I'm looking at an article that says Catholics urged to divulge eco sins during confession as bishops launch a new environmental campaign. I mean, Terry, I don't spit on the sidewalk. I don't put gum underneath the bench. I recycle my stuff.
Of course, I've seen you do it.
I don't throw my, you know, I'm very conscious of the environment.
Oh yeah.
But to me personally, it doesn't raise to the level of having to, like, have my moral conscience, you know, examined to see if I'm taking care of Mother Earth. But as we read this, it says Catholics are being urged to divulge their eco sins during confession as bishops launch a new environmental campaign. This is in Great Britain, in England.
Yeah.
As part of an initiative to ensure that the Catholic Church plays a role in tackling the climate crisis, it is encouraging congregants to go to confession or reconciliation services. So this is a lay-run campaign. It's called Journey to 2030. By the way, Al Gore and, Ocasio-Cortez and other people have said that the world is going to end in 2030. So that's why they're calling it Journey to 2030. They're saying that if we don't do something immediately, the world is going to end as a result of ecological disaster. Terry, this is unsettled science. We don't have to follow it.
Not only that, Jesse, I come from a different angle, and I say, wait a minute. In England, in America, in many countries, marriages are in total disarray. People are using contraceptives. They're having abortions as many as the secular people are having. They vote like the secular people, and we're worried about the ecology. Here's my analogy, Jesse. If you're a farmer and you have your barn on fire, okay, the whole family's in, you know, that's the analogy. The barn is on fire. Are you really going to go water your cornfields? No! See, I think that it's important. I have solar panels on my house. Jess, you've seen them. I recycle. I'm all for that. But what's the important thing right now? What's our priority? The environment or the salvation of souls? So I'm a little upset in this sense that we're putting our time and effort on getting people to examine whether they're recycling their plastic bottles as they continue to use contraceptives and have abortions as much as secular people, and marriages are falling apart. I think our priorities are out of line. That's my take.
Absolutely, Terry. In fact, the very last canon of the Code of Canon Law,
salvation of his souls,
it says that the reason that the Catholic Church exists is for the salvation
Amen.
Of souls.
That's why my point is.
And so we have to go back to what the church actually teaches. This is theological speculation, or this is what's called, Terry, speculative theology. Okay? And the point is that I think we should be more concerned with the pollution of the soul
more
than the pollution of the environment. What do you say?
Jesse, of course, that's my point. You just read my mind. The point of it is this earth is going to be destroyed, okay? All this is going to be gone. What's going to last? Your soul. That's the only thing. So I just think sometimes that we're getting off the topic that's what's most important, and we're talking about the environment when families are falling apart, babies are being ripped out of their mother's wombs, and we're going to worry about look at Jess, see on YouTube, a plastic bottle. I got to recycle. When I'm done drinking the water, it'll be recycled. But you know what? That's such a minor thing compared to salvation of souls and family life. I think you know who I think likes this, though? You know who I think is one of the biggest promoters of this? The devil. And I'll tell you why. Because he's realizing that we're going to focus on the environment and forget about our soul.
Exactly.
And the devil's laughing at us. That's my take, Jess.
Yeah, because what he does is try to distract people. He says, hey, look at my left hand. Yep. That way you don't see what my right hand's doing over here. Look at the left hand.
Yep.
That way you don't see what I'm doing over here. He wants us to focus, Terry, on minor issues and forget about what's most important. The article says here, this initiative run by these lay people, Journey to 2030, in partnership with the Bishops' Conference, by the way. So the English bishops are part of this conference as well. And an ecological conversion group, which is the volunteer group of young Catholics. It says the initiative aims to create a sense of urgency towards our ecological crisis and those suffering from its ill effects, as well as promote confession of environment sins. So it says before entering the confessional, sinners will be offered an environmental examination of conscience. This works like a checklist that people can go through before confession with prompts such as, have you taken flights unnecessarily?
Give me a break.
So this Journey to 2030, which was launched in the Diocese of Arundel and Brighton, which is in Britain, encourages parishes to be hubs for community projects and offers ideas for activities under the headings of reduce, reuse, and recycle. Boy, this is Marxism coming into the Catholic Church here.
Jesse, I don't mean to beat a dead horse. The only reason I come on this radio is to help people get to heaven. If I want to talk about recycling, I'm going to go to my city council and put something in there to try and get it passed, okay? I don't want to spend time talking about recycling when I want to talk about the salvation of souls because I don't see it in the Bible, Jesse. I'm sorry. I see the Bible teaching me about getting to heaven, and I think that, again, that's our priority. And again, the family life, we're coming apart for the last, 50, 60 years since the sexual revolution, and we're going to go in and say, yeah, I took an extra flight to Las Vegas. That was my sin. It wasn't a sin to go have marital relations with not my wife out there in Vegas. It was really just a problem that I took the flight when I shouldn't have done it. You see what I'm trying to say? It distracts us from the most important thing, which is, again, the salvation of our soul. And, again, family life. I mean, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. I just want to say this, and then I'll turn it back to you, Jesse. I want to have a church right now that gets back to the fundamentals that Jesus Christ taught 2,000 years ago, that what's most important is to have that relationship with Him. And to live out the gospel values in my wife, with my wife and family, and to get my family to heaven. That's my priority, Jesse, and as many other souls I can to get to heaven. Because recycling is not on my list of salvation.
Now, there's no Bible verse, thou shalt recycle. But I'll tell you what will happen to the earth according to the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Yep. Here's what the Bible says about the earth, okay? 2 Peter chapter 3, it's actually verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. And the elements, that means earth, the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. All these things are to be dissolved. Okay? That's what's going to happen with all this, ultimately, Terry, it's all going to be ashes.
Right. Our studio, our homes, everything. That's
but not
why.
The soul. The but soul's the only
eternal.
Thing that's eternal. Eternal. It's immortal. It's never going to die. It's going to be in heaven or in hell forever.
Yeah.
But that 7-Up, you know, that Pepsi can that you have, that will one day be completely dissolved. It will. You won't see it no more. And the website that's promoting this, they offer a resource called Advent Reconciliation Service. It invites Catholics to reflect on their own impact on the environment and the areas of their diet, the cars they drive, the clothes they wear, and the electronics before confession. And Catholics are going to be asked to consider where their clothes are fairly traded, how many animal products they consume, and whether they overuse their mobile phones. So here's my take, Terry. All of this is coming from, it comes from the social justice warriors in the left.
Oh, yeah.
Like Al Gore. This sounds like rhetoric from Al Gore.
Of course.
George Soros, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman, Bernie Sanders. These are the social justice warriors that are saying that the world is going to end in 12 years. This is nothing but modernism, and they're trying to repackage it as theology. This is not theology. This is a prudential judgment, maybe from the bishops over in Britain that are trying to pass this off as church teaching. But according to Pope Benedict XVI, a Catholic could disagree even with the Pope, Terry, on prudential judgment matters.
Yep.
And the Catechism says that we have the right and duty to voice our opinion and concern to our sacred pastors based on our knowledge in paragraph 907. And all I could want to say is to our English bishops, let's go back to basics. Let's worry about the salvation of the soul and leave the social justice Marxist warriors. Let them worry about the environment.
Well said. And again, Jesse and I, just if you just tuned in, you say, what are we talking about? Well, we're just talking about common sense. And that is, we are talking about getting to heaven is our number one priority. The environment, yes, it's important to recycle. We said that. We have solar panels on our houses. Great, great. But what's most important is the salvation of souls. Jesse, I'm excited about when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about an atheist Harvard professor who says he had supernatural visions of Our Lady that led him to Catholicism. Yes, I know him well. And when we come back, we'll share his story about how Our Lady led him to Jesus Christ and the church. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. Get yourself a cup of coffee and come on back.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Karstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum. In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. This is a good news item. An atheist Harvard professor by the name of Roy Shoman says that the supernatural vision of Our Lady led him to Catholicism.
Awesome.
And he says she was indescribably beautiful. What an incredible story. He was interviewed by Shalom World. Harvard professor Roy Shoman regarding his Catholic conversion. He's a business professor. And he told about a series of mystical encounters that led him to Catholicism, including an intimate experience with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Roy Shoman says that he became an atheist in college after leaving the Jewish faith. And he explained, however, that atheism's emptiness led his heart to desire more. It reminds me of St. Augustine's line, "Our hearts are restless, Lord, until they rest in thee." But Roy Shoman, several years ago, he says he went to sleep and he thought that he was awoken by a hand gently on my shoulder and led to a room and left alone with the most beautiful young woman I could ever imagine, Roy says. He says, "I knew without being told that it was the Blessed Virgin Mary." Now, here's what's interesting. Every visionary or mystic that has said that when Our Lady has appeared to them, every single one of them says the same thing.
I know it.
The most beautiful woman you've ever seen. Everyone says that.
Makes sense.
And it's what's interesting is that the name Mary, in the Middle East, the name Mary in the Coptic language means the beautiful one. So it's interesting. That's what her name actually means in the Middle East, the beautiful one. And that's what everybody says when they see her. Now, it says he found himself in her presence. All I wanted to do was honor her. In fact, the first thoughts in my mind, he says, "Oh my gosh, I wish I at least knew the Hail Mary, but I didn't." So Roy Shoman said that that Mary then offered to answer his questions. He said, "My first thought was to ask her to teach me the Hail Mary, but I was too proud to admit that I didn't know it. So in a kind of indirect way of teaching me the Hail Mary," he says, "she was a bit coy, shy and modest. But he asked her, you know, what's your favorite prayer? And she said, I love all prayers." He says, "I was a bit pushy and told him that her favorite prayer is, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." By the way, that's the prayer that was given to St. Catherine Laboureil. That's the original prayer given to St. Catherine Laboureil. So Shoman says that when he went to sleep that night, he says, "I knew virtually nothing about the Blessed Virgin Mary. I knew none of what she revealed to me in this experience." And he goes, "She was perfectly beautiful, indescribably beautiful." Mm-hmm. But he said even more perfect was the beauty of her voice. He says it was composed of that which makes music music. And when she spoke, and when the beauty of her voice flowed through me, carrying it with it her love, it lifted me up into a state of ecstasy greater than I ever imagined could exist. Terry?
Jesse, I met him because we put his book that Ignatius Press published of his conversion story on a CD years ago. And I would just encourage people to go to Ignatius Press and get his book so you get the whole story. But what I noticed, Jesse, about these apparitions throughout history, whether it's the people in the Middle East who are having Our Lord and Our Lady appearing to them as, you know, these Muslims are coming to Christianity because of extraordinary things like this, I've noticed that it seems our God is not letting us get in the way. In other words, evangelization is very slow right now in the church and not doing so well. And so Our Lord is appearing through Our Lady and Him to people to bring them into the church. Now, why do I say that? It's because the Lord wants everybody saved. That's what the Bible says, that we're all willed to get to heaven, whether they're, you know, who's going to reach them with the gospel? And if we don't, sometimes I see things like Our Lady of Guadalupe. There's a good example, Jesse. Those people needed the message of Christianity, and Our Lady appeared there. You mentioned Rudebach, Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, which is called the Conversion Medal. This is going on all the time in the church. Now, that doesn't let Jesse and I off to evangelize. We have to evangelize. But I want to encourage everyone to see Mary as the first evangelist in the Catholic Church.
You know, here's something interesting that I would just share with the audience.
Tell
me. That one of the tools to help convert somebody, an unconverted person,
yeah.
There's two of them, actually. Give somebody the Miraculous Medal,
right,
or the Green Scapular.
Yep.
Both of those have carry with it powerful signal graces, and there's so many stories of people that have come from complete unbelief or a life of wretchedness,
that's right,
into faith in Christ as a result of having the Miraculous Medal or the Green Scapular. In fact, in the Green Scapular, you could even place that like in people's bedrooms, your kids'
yep.
bedrooms, somebody's bedrooms of an unconverted person, you know, that it doesn't have to be on their person. It'd be better if it's on their person, but it could just be somewhere in their presence. Terry, do you want to mention something about, he said that he fell into an ecstasy.
Oh, yeah, that's,
okay?
Yeah.
Now, so what's an ecstasy? Here's what St. Teresa calls an ecstasy, St. Teresa of Avila. She says, this is her own words. She says, when the body is in rapture, that's ecstasy. Rapture means caught up. That's what it means. It is as though dead, frequently being unable to do anything of itself. It remains in the position it was when seized by the rapture, whether standing or sitting, or whether with the hands opened or closed. Although once in a while the senses fail, sometimes it happened to me that they fail completely, but this occurs rarely. And again, this term ecstasy, it means that you're sharing, you know, you were in a normal state and you're being taken out of this normal state, and it's being intensified or heightened by the presence of the divine. That's what, you can't even move. So this ecstasy, it suggests that there's this intensification of emotion so powerful, it almost produces like a trance-like state because you're in the presence of the divine. That's what ecstasy means. And I've never experienced an ecstasy, but boy, oh boy, I can't wait.
Yeah. Jesse, I just want to encourage the devotion to Mary. But tonight is Thursday, and I want to remind everybody to pray for our Pope, pray for the bishops, pray for priests, and thank our clergy, okay? So tonight at 7 p.m. here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we have Holy Mass and then Holy Hour. Until 9 or 10 o'clock at night, we're going to be praying on our knees before the Blessed Sacrament, asking Jesus for the graces to give to our priests, our bishops, and to the Pope. And, you know, sometimes I get a lot of people that say to me, Jesse, gosh, you guys are kind of critical. Well, you know, Jesse, I have to say this. I want the truth, okay? And, I mean, if somebody's not promoting the truth of the Catholic faith, I love them so much that I'm going to say, wait a minute. This doesn't square with the perennial teachings of the church. Let's get what the church has always taught. The deposit of faith is another way of saying it. That's what we're looking for here at Virgin Most Powerful. And I just want to encourage you, our listener, to consider praying each Thursday before the Blessed Sacrament, because this is the Holy Thursday where the Blessed Sacrament was established and the priesthood was established. So let's make a commitment to pray for our clergy, thank our clergy, and the best thing you can do for the clergy is be a saint.
Amen. Terry, Roy Scholman says this last part, he says that he woke up, mm-hmm. he was completely in love with the Blessed Virgin Mary after mm-hmm. his ecstasy.
That's right.
He said he wanted to be as fully and completely as Christian as possible, yep. which led him to Catholicism.
Of course, that makes
sense. And he says that during that experience of Mary, I saw how all of the graces that flow from divinity mm-hmm. into humanity flow through the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it's interesting. Roy Scholman was given this vision of what St. Bernard and St. Louis de Montfort talk about. They say that Mary's the neck of the mystical body. That's what he's describing here.
That's right.
Remember, the neck joins the head to the body, and so Mary is the most important member in the body of Christ. St. Bernard of Clairvaux says this, Mary is the channel, if you will, the neck by which the head sends power and strength through to the body. Such is the will of God that we should obtain everything we need through Mary. And regardless that we believe or not, when we pray to the Lord Jesus Christ or the saints, all the graces we receive come to us through the neck, which is Mary alone. And St. Louis de Montfort and St. Bernard said, if we're unwilling to receive them from her, we shall get none. And so in acting, we are upsetting the order established by God, because it was through Jesus Christ, it was through her that Jesus Christ came to us. So it's through her that we must go back to him, which is the head. That's St. Louis de Montfort and St. Bernard of Clairvaux.
And you know what? St. Maximilian Kolbe says the same thing. And that's why I would encourage you to look at total consecration to Mary, whether it's de Montfort, whether it's St. Maximilian Kolbe, or Father Mike Gately with the Marian Helpers. Giving yourself to Mary through to Jesus is the way Mary was working when Jesus came at that first Christmas. So we do the same thing. And I would encourage you all to do that. When in our role of evangelization, I think 41 years ago, when I consecrated myself to the Blessed Mother in 1978, that's when I got involved with Fulton Sheen's Life is Worth Living, and then radio followed, and different apostolates. It all came from consecration to Mary. So Our Lady of Guadalupe's feast is today. If you get a chance, I'll tell you, go visit the church, make a little visit, ask Our Lady to intercede for you and your family. Jesse, I'll wrap it up, brother.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the good news is. The good news is that God loves us unconditionally.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep.
And God wills everybody to be saved. But I'll tell you what we have to remember is that although God loves us unconditionally, salvation is conditional. What does it mean?
Here it comes.
You got to repent. You got to turn away from your sins.
Exactly.
You got to live in a state of grace. Wake up, America. Don't hit the snooze button. There will be global warming one day, Terry. You know when that is? That's when Jesus comes back. Global warming will be the second coming of Christ. And the question is, are you ready? That's the question. And you know what? The Crusaders, when they fought during the Middle Ages, when they were defending Catholic Europe from the Islamic attacks, they would say, Christ conquers, Christ reigns, Christ commands. Let that acclamation be burned in your heart. Pull no punches. Tell the truth. Speak the truth in charity.
And don't forget the five stones of David. Holy hour. First Friday's fast on Friday. And if you want to be old-fashioned, do it on Wednesdays too. Hey, pray the rosary every day. Get to Mass as often as possible, especially if you're retired. Get to Mass every day, man. Confession at least once a month. That's what the saints have told us. And you know what? Reading the Bible. You know how you can do that? Join us every day, Monday through Friday. We read the scriptures of the Mass. Open up the Bible every day. Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Get holy or die trying. Become a saint. There's nothing more important than that.
And don't forget, December 21st here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, 9 a.m. Mass in the intention for Fulton Sheen's beatification. Also tonight, Holy Hour, 7 p.m. Mass at the chapel. And we're going to pray for our prelates, which is what we need to do. May God richly bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin most powerful radio. sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.